So, sir, ma'am.
It's ma'am.
So you have been, I'm cross-examining you right now. And the record shows that you gave $3,500 to two men to hurt you and then yell, "This is MAGA country." Is that true?
I don't recall.
What do you mean you don't recall? Is that the truth or is that not the truth?
I don't recall giving the $3,500. Maybe it fell out of my pocket. Maybe I left a little note that said, "Tell me this is MAGA country and pretend to attack me." I don't recall.
That's pretty bad memory for someone giving out large amounts of money to people. Would you say that you felt like you were in danger?
I always feel like I'm in danger as a black woman in this country, so I would say that's pretty much standard. Is that what you mean?
If that is the case, Your Honor, why did you not call the police?
I'm not, Your Honor, but...
Well, you're not. I'm Your Honor talking to Your Honor.
I didn't call the police because... I'm a black woman in America. Why would I call the police? It's the last thing I'd want to do. That's like saying, why not call the murderer to come murder you? Okay.
This is getting
stupid question.
Quite monogamous. Magnanimous. Sorry, that's the word I meant to say. Not monogamous. I'm calling you Your Dishonor.
Magnanimous?
Yes, that's what the word is.
This is falling apart, Will. Yeah, as we sit here, the plane...
I think we all need to take some time and go to Subway. In the
I would love a
foot long. Right.
The noose was just too tight around your neck for you to finish that uh-huh. word, for you to really get the word out.
That would
out.
Be your neck, though, the noose.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
But
it's like Bubba Wallace.
Just like Bubba Wallace. Guys, that opening skit, I don't know if you could tell or not, but was related to the Jussie Smollett case as he testified recently saying that there was no hoax. We're going to get into that story. We're going to talk the Omicron variant. We're going to talk about vaccine mandates for children in New York City. We're going to talk about the rise in armed robbery, as well as our new 5-minute video and Will's video that he did on Pearl Harbor. Plus, it's TikTok Tuesday. We will get to all of that within today's hour. So guys, stick around for the stories that you want to hear, and stick around for TikTok Tuesday. Guys, also big news, we are streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and now Rumble. So if you're like, I don't jive with Facebook, I don't jive with YouTube anymore, they're always censoring me, they're always putting little fact checks under my posts, you know, we want Will and Amala uncensored, okay? In
What?
We want Will and Amala uncensored by big tech. How's that?
Will and Amala, raw. Oh, I agree with you.
After dark.
In the most sensible way, you want, yes, Will and Amala uncensored, which means you can watch our show, Will and Amala Live, on Rumble.
Listen, this is more about Mark Zuckerberg, less about Stormy Daniels, okay?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Now, let's get into the stories of today. So Jussie Smollett goes under cross-examination and starts testifying in his trial. Jussie Smollett, if you guys remember, you know, claimed that he was attacked by two white men wearing MAGA, Make America Great Again hats after grabbing Subway, and that they beat him down in what was played out to be a massive hate crime against not only a black man, but a gay black man. Now, it turns out these white male criminals who decided to racially attack Jussie Smollett turned out to be two Nigerian dudes who Jussie Smollett was quite familiar with. So it reeks of hoax to me. However, when Jussie Smollett took the stand today, he stated there was no hoax. Now, we recognize Jussie Smollett as a former Empire actor, a big show, very popular in the black community. He now faces charges because he lied to Chicago police about this January 2019 attack. So this was, my gosh, all 2 years ago now.
Yeah, I remember when this happened. I was driving back from Malibu for an event that I was at, and I just heard about it. I was like, this sounds very strange, and people were hopping all over it and talking about it. I don't know if we have this, if this picture, Jamie, pull up that picture, the picture of me at the Oscars in 2019, and I went to the Oscars with a picture of Jussie Smollett and a sign that said, nominated for Best Actor Award. It was very funny. It was a big deal. But where was I going with this? Yes, that it was.
I think you just wanted to talk about your funny moment.
It was a funny moment, but the brothers.
I got the picture.
The brothers have admitted.
Jamie, good job.
Wow, you pulled it up.
I'm so quick.
Wow, Jamie, good job.
Thank you.
The brothers have admitted that he paid them.
Yes.
I mean, why is this even a case whatsoever? I mean, the brothers literally admitted it. They should, Jussie Smollett should go to jail for malfeasance and all these kind of things. I mean,
perjury. It's lying.
Yes.
It's lying in the court of law. You lied to police officers and perjured yourself there. Now you're lying in your testimony. You're a liar.
100%.
What do you mean? I don't understand how you can go up there and say, oh yeah, well, it wasn't two white dudes. It was two black dudes. Also, I knew the two black dudes. Also, I paid the two black dudes. Also, I told them exactly what to say and what to do to me. And then I called the police and acted like it was an attack when it wasn't. But I'm going to get up here and say there was no hoax.
He said he didn't call the police, right? They asked him why he didn't call the police or what took him so long.
Sorry.
And he said, I'm a black man in America. I don't trust the police.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because he did not report it to the police the night of.
Yeah,
sorry.
We were talking with Dennis before when he was on the show a couple weeks ago. I mean, he said it perfectly when he said that when he looks at all these different race hoaxes or race attacks and all these kind of things, his first thing to think is that it's a hoax, right? Yep. Because of the nature of them and because of how prevalent they are. And that's exactly how many people are thinking. That's sad. You know, you don't want to think that people getting attacked is a hoax immediately. But when you think about it, it's like, I mean, these are happening all over the place where these things are turning out to be hoaxes.
Yeah, we covered a story a while back, and you can go back and listen to our old episodes of Will and Amal Live, of a guy, a former employee of Emory University, going around to black administrators' offices and painting the N-word on it, going to Jewish workers there and painting swastikas outside their office. What did this guy look like? He was a black former employee. So he was going and creating a racialized narrative and created yet another hoax. And Emory University ran with that like crazy. All the students were afraid of the white supremacist hate mongers on their campus. And it turned out to be a black guy who just decided to go and do that. And it does happen quite a bit. I think quite more than anyone or the media is willing to admit, because again, the demand for racism is higher than the supply. So we need to create supply and we need to create these stories. The same thing happened with Bubba Wallace, who claimed that he had a noose in the garage at his NASCAR where his car would be held. And what happened with both of these cases, with Jussie Smollett and Bubba Wallace? The FBI jumped on this and is like, we need to spawn a full investigation into this. We need to find these white supremacists, only to find that they are all hoaxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
The FBI's also busy finding out the parents are domestic terrorists.
Right, and ignoring gymnasts that complain of sexual assault.
Yeah, or ignoring that Daryl Brooks is a terrorist who ran over people at a Christmas parade. I mean,
exactly.
These are the people who they're designating as terrorists. And it's not just black people who are, you know, it's not just like black race hoax things. I mean, these things have happened with gay people, happened with women, happened with the girl at the college. I can't remember the college, but she said that people attacked her because she was wearing a hijab. It turned out to be all farce. It turned out to all be fake. These things happen all the time. And it's sad that you have to feel like you hear one of these things and you're like, immediately, it's probably a hoax. That is a sad state that we live in America when it's so prevalent that that's what you automatically come to at first.
And it's because we're raising a generation of activists. Everybody's an activist. Everybody's doing something that's changing the world. And then when you don't have the supply to do that, you have to make it up. You have to make up stories. It's reminiscent of the girl at UNC College when we were talking about rape culture in America. The girl who carried around a mattress for 2 weeks around, or like however many days girl. Around UNC to talk about the rape culture on the campus. And even if that is the case on your campus, you making up a lie and a hoax and doing this performative activism is not helpful to the narrative. It is not helpful to shedding light on these issues. It's not helpful to people who truly go through hate crimes or rapes or sexual assaults or anything of that matter. You are hurting people.
Yeah, I mean, the 1 in 3 stat that even came out of that saying that, you know, 1 in 3 women are sexually assaulted on a college campus turned out to be a total hoax.
Yep.
I mean, it was done by some ludicrous survey that was meticulously done in a way to make sure that they would get the results that they want. It was total laziness. And even afterwards, the people who created the survey said, this does not reflect, you know, that this is actually happening on these campuses.
Yeah.
But people ran with it anyway. I mean, all these things. So even when you find out that these things are a lie, people still push the lie and say that it's the truth. Have you seen MSNBC or CNN or New York Times or any of these people come out with some sort of retraction about the Bubba Wallace or Jussie Smollett or any of these other fake race hoax crimes?
No,
they don't need to. They don't need to. I mean, when Bill Clinton was going through his whole sexual assault thing back in 1998, did these left-wing journalists and people ever come out and say, no, you know, it's not that big of a, it's we were really wrong about it? No, they tried to say that, you know, sex isn't that big of a deal. That's what they tried to say. They tried to say, oh, this is just what, you know, sometimes happens between men and when they have a wife. You know, this is what Bill Clinton's doing. It's not that big of a deal. Instead of retracting the things that they said. So, yeah, it's all disgusting from the mainstream media. These people are the enemy of the people. We are fighting against them.
Yeah. And hopefully we see a conviction here in the case of Jussie Smollett. He deserves it. It's pretty clear cut what happened. It was a hoax. He did instigate it. He did pay for it to happen. And guess what? It didn't go according to plan for him. Maybe he got a little bit too much attention. Maybe he got a little bit more than he set out to get. And hopefully he, you know, reaps what he's sown in this situation. I hope to see it.
I hope so, too.
We've been doing good with court cases so far.
I know. It's been a good year. These people need to be held accountable.
Yep. Absolutely, they do. Speaking of accountability, let's move on and get back into the vaccine talk. We always have to get into these daily discussions because this is really the forefront of the issues in America right now and across the world, not just here in America. Here's the headline out of breakingpress.ie. Omicron variant made 9 billion euros in week for top Pfizer and Moderna shareholders here. The discovery of the Omicron coronavirus variant caused the wealth of 8 top Pfizer and Moderna shareholders to skyrocket by a combined 9 billion euros, which is 10.31 American dollars.
Yeah. If you guys follow me on Substack, thewillwit.substack.com, I wrote a piece about that yesterday that came out where I explained, went deeper into it. But looking at all of the cases that have happened before with Big Pharma, with not just Moderna and Pfizer, but looking at Purdue Pharma with opiates and all these different people, they didn't care at all. Purdue Pharma didn't care at all that people's lives were being lost by the opiates that they were doing, or the families whose lives were ruined, or the towns that were ravaged by their drugs. They didn't care at all. They continued to lie and continue to fly doctors to extravagant locations and doctor shop and get doctors to continue to prescribe this and give bigger bonuses to the sales reps and all these kind of things. They didn't care at all. And so people who are now coming out and saying, oh, well, these people, they really care. That's why they're doing this. They care. They're Big Pharma's doing this because they care. You serious? Like, come on. They're making so much money. You cannot expect them to be doing this out of their heart for some altruistic intent to actually want to help people. It's just not there. Even if it works, let's say it even works, the amount of money that they're making cannot be from a totally altruistic place. I mean, it is power and greed at its finest.
It is power and greed. And you can tell when it breaches, when their policy advocacy breaches sanity. Like, it's not sane anymore to go, oh, you have a 5 to 11-year-old. They need mandated vaccines, which is, that's a story that we're going to get to out of New York City. But it's breached normalcy. It is breached logic. It is breached reason. And you can only ask yourself, what do you stand to gain from doing this? Because it's not saving the lives of little children. We know that to be true with the data analysis we have around COVID-19. So what do you gain from this? Definitely a lot of money. And it's funny because if you go through this article, again, it's on breakingnews.ie. You can go and check it out. A lot of companies and a lot of corporations that we talk about very frequently on this show are benefiting from what Moderna and Pfizer are doing. BlackRock, Vanguard, Morgan Stanley, Flagship. It's crazy to think of how all of this can be interconnected. And we talked on the show, or we're going to talk on the show later this week, about just how our culture has shifted, how our lifestyles have changed, and how these corporations play a part in it. And it's so interesting to see the corporations that are changing other parts of our lives, the way that we work, the fact that we can't buy houses, the way that we shop and consume, are linked with Moderna and Pfizer.
BlackRock, Vanguard, investment firms, you guys don't know if you don't know, but they are going in and buying up individual houses across the country and turning them into rental properties. It is terrible for people. Yeah. And then because of this, they have so much money. They are also heavily invested in major media companies. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that BlackRock has major shares in Comcast, in AT&T, in the New York Times. Most of the people who work for the New York Times don't even know that BlackRock has major shares owned in the New York Times. But because of this, I mean, these media arms are legs of these people who are investors. This is why I say the media is the enemy of the people, because these people are bought and paid for. OK, they are not independent journalists coming out and saying, here's what's really going on. This is not the Drudge Report in the 1990s coming and exposing the bureaucracy and people who are, you know, trying to make a difference. I mean, these are people who are bought and sold, the mainstream media that has an agenda that they are trying to shove down your throat at all points. And so these big investment firms are coming in. They are buying the media companies, getting the media companies to say what they want. And then by them saying what they want, they make them more money in the other avenues of investing that they are doing. So you see how it is all connected. All of this is connected, okay? This is a government, bureaucracy, capitalist system that has worked together to snuff out competition and to make you as an individual and as a consumer dumb and dull and indulgent to whatever they want you to do.
Right. What? You will truly own nothing. You will consume everything. You will get the jab and you will like it.
Yes, and you will
be happy. That's where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So tragically devastating and annoying to have to talk about this endlessly every single day and not see much change. Here's some stories out of the EU, the European Union. This one's interesting. For all the people, I just want to call this out because we've made the comparison on this show that a lot of the vaccine mandate and the vax passport and regulating where people can and cannot go and locking people down is reminiscent of Nazi Germany. Are we saying that they're going out and slaughtering millions of people? No. But are we saying that the policy and what they're implementing culturally is reminiscent? Absolutely. We've said that. And you get a lot of heat both from people on the left and conservatives who say, well, it's not an apt comparison. Well, here's a story out of the EU. In the wake of Austria's drastic lockdown of unvaccinated people, EU chief calls for throwing out the Nuremberg Code.
Yeah, Ursula. I mean, this lady is, if you see pictures of her, basically rubbing shoulders, more than rubbing shoulders, they're basically rubbing faces with the CEO of Pfizer talking about it. And they're basically best friends. So, of course, this is going to happen. But the Nuremberg Code, if you guys don't know, is essentially the code that was done after World War II so that people mm-hmm. cannot unjustly experiment on subjects. Okay, unlawfully. Yep. That is what the Nuremberg Code was about. So what did this do if they are going to take this away? What that essentially means is that if people are going to get the vaccine and the vaccine has harmful side effects or anything else, that means that they are not going to be held liable for any of these things. It is not going to come down to the Nuremberg Code. But what we are saying about Nazi Germany is this is similar. When you look at German history and you look at how in the 1930s when Hitler was in power and what first happened in those years, I mean, they weren't going and slaughtering Jews in those first years or mm-hmm. going and, you know, telling people that we're going to put you in a gas chamber. What they were doing is going to certain groups, going to Catholic priests, to Jews, to African Europeans, essentially, and talking to them and saying, well, we can't treat these people because they are a certain way, or we don't want to treat these people because they are genetically inferior, mm-hmm. right? And then it got into this evil, horrible, authoritarian Nazism that it transformed into. But it started very subtly, okay? These things in Germany, when this was happening, this started very subtly. It was very things that maybe some people would have agreed with back then in Germany. And in Germany, almost every single medical institution and major doctor in that country agreed with the Third Reich and went along with it, okay? And this is before the experiments of Dr. Joseph Mengele and all these types of people. Germany was turning into that authoritarian place. Now, because of that, it is important that you look at the things that right now might be considered subtle or are not that big of a deal and say, all right, what do these things lead into? These actions have consequences. If you give the government 10% of your power, then what is the problem with giving them 25%, 50%? Mm. Well, now you're at 100%, and now it's too late because now you've given them everything. And this is the road that it could lead down. I'm not trying to sound like hyperbole, but I would rather have it be hyperbole and say something that could stop potentially something horrible or evil happening than to say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. All these people are conspiracy theorists.
Right. It's like, how many times have we talked about hyperbole over the course of this? When COVID was first released to us in March, and we were given the information, I'll put in air quotes, but given the information surrounding COVID-19, there was a lot of statements made that were considered hyperbolic at the time that fully came to fruition. And what is important about the Nuremberg Code and why it was instated is that it was a safeguard against these Nazi sort of principles and what they were carrying out in Europe. It was a safeguard to that. It was like, here is a tenet of Nazism that we want to avoid in our country. Here is the Nuremberg Code to do that. And now they're calling about repealing the Nuremberg Code? You should be concerned about that. It was set up as a safeguard, and now we're saying suddenly we don't need this safeguard because with this safeguard, we can't force people to do what we want them to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it is truly a scary time to be living there. I mean, Austria is locking down people. It is making that if you don't have the vaccine by February 1st, you will get jail time potentially and also being fined in Austria. Germany 70% vaccinated. Now they're locking down the unvaccinated. And it's getting worse all over Europe. Spain, I believe, tomorrow, Spain is requiring vax passes for places. I mean, it is getting very bad in Europe. Europe is always 3 to 6 months ahead of what we are doing in the United States.
Yep.
So.
And it might just be coming to a city near you. Here's a story out of New York City talking about vaccinations for kids 5 and up. Here we go.
Okay, now. Another really big important step, and this is going to be a first in the nation step. You're going to hear from our health commissioner in a moment. and he will be issuing a commissioner's order for all private sector employers in New York City. It is time. Look, this is how we put health and safety first, by ensuring that there is a vaccine mandate that reaches everyone universally in the private sector. A lot of folks in the private sector have said to me they believe in vaccination, but they're not quite sure how they can do it themselves. Well, we're going to do it. We're going to do this so that every employer is on a level playing field. One universal standard starting December 27th. We're going to be working with businesses all over the city, and that's almost 200,000 businesses that are not already covered by the Key to NYC guidelines right now. We're going to be working with the business community. We're going to be talking to them in the next days on how to put together the right plan to implement this. The specific guidance, the specific rules will come out on December 15th. We want to have a collaborative process. We want to make this work. And let's be clear, we have a great example with the Key to NYC. All those restaurants, all those fitness clubs, all those entertainment facilities, movie theaters, all sorts of places, they've been working with us. They gave us.
So that's your words from a New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, saying that now he's going to be working for getting vaccinations for children 5 and up, and that he's also going to be pushing vaccine mandates in the private sector, so for private sector businesses. And now this would cover an additional to what is already being covered with the vaccine mandates that were instituted by, you know, our hierarchy up in Washington. This is going to cover an additional 184,000 businesses that are now going to be pushing vaccine mandates on their employees.
It's illegal. I mean, there are going to be massive lawsuits. It's more, I mean, wrong is more than illegal, but it is also illegal. I mean, first of all, you are, by doing this, you are mandating private institutions that are like religious schools, like a Jewish school or a private Catholic school, anything like this. You are requiring them to give vaccinated as employees. Now, if I know anything, it's I know what the First Amendment is, where you have freedom of religion, freedom to be able to speak your mind about things. If you are now coming in and telling a priest or a rabbi that they are not allowed to tell their congregation what they want to do with the vaccine or not, that is a clear violation of the First Amendment. They are going to be seeing mounting court cases for this right now. I am telling you, this is going to happen. I don't know how long these are going to stick, but Bill de Blasio is on his way out, and so we're going to see, you know, they kind of don't care. They're kind of just like, well, I'm just going to do all this. I think it's the same thing with our current administration now, where they're kind of like, you know, it doesn't really matter what we do. We know that they're tanking. We know that people don't like them. We know that the people are going to say we've had enough of this, but it doesn't matter if during that time that they're actually here, they can destroy these things and usher in their communist dream. So I think that's how it is with Bill de Blasio right now. I think that's what he wants to do. And so much of this is just a clear violation of so many things that I'm sure they're going to be major lawsuits.
I hope there is. And I think we're already organizing here in California, and people are getting together and filing their lawsuits against the government here for what they're doing with the vaccine mandates. We talked about this on the show, or we are going to talk about this on the show, with firefighters in LAFD being fired, and they're organizing around that and hopefully filing lawsuits against Los Angeles City Council. But it needs to happen across the nation. It needs to happen here in New York. People need to start organizing, and you need to get ahead of it. And a lot of people are going to ask us, because every time something like this happens, we get massive amounts of DMs saying, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? My job is mandating vaccines. My school is mandating vaccines. Stand your ground. Do not do what they tell you to do simply because they tell you to do it. If you want to be a vaccinated individual, absolutely go and do that. But don't do it for the sake of following some mandate or following something that your employer is telling you to do. You do have power, although it may not feel like it, and it may be a rough road. Also, don't quit your job. Let them fire you.
Especially because so many people, I talk to so many people who are just like, oh, this person, my family, just, you know, the vaccine requirements were going to come. And so then they got the vaccine preemptively. And then these OSHA rules, I mean, the court ruled that they were unconstitutional. And then they already had gotten the vaccine before the rules even went into place. And then the rules were no longer allowed. So don't just cow over and keel over now because, you know, people are saying this is going to happen. Give us some time and see what happens in the courts. And hopefully something can happen, which should happen if these people have any sense. And we'll reverse these things. But I think that you should get out of New York. I see no reason for you to be there. And that's as someone who loves New York. I love Manhattan. I love Central Park. I love everything about New York. It's an amazing place. And now New York is ruined. You have one life, okay? You have one life, a finite life. And with that time, are you going to really spend it in a place that, with you and your family, that is authoritarian to you, that is trying to destroy you, that hates you? Why would you do that to yourself? go somewhere where you can enjoy freedom and enjoy your time with your family instead of having to constantly, you know, worry about someone looking over your shoulder for your vax card. I mean, there's so much more to life than that. I think that you should get out.
It's just a sad state of affairs. It really, really is, because then it's just like, it's going to become people just leaving and leaving, leaving and retreating and retreating and retreating. And it's going to just constantly shift. And it's hard. It's really difficult to like leave a place that you've always known, because it's now shifted to something that's unrecognizable. And that's happening here in Los Angeles. It's happening across California. It's happening in states alike. It's just devastating to see what people are trying to implement and what they're trying to push for here.
Yeah. I mean, Los Angeles has been like this for a little bit longer.
Yeah, but even since I've been here, like when I got here in March, the place where I live was not like filled up with homeless people. There weren't tents everywhere. It wasn't particularly scary to go outside of my apartment. I could go for walks if I wanted to. Even at night, I would go for a walk. Would never do that now.
Yeah.
Never would do that now. It got
worse in the 4 years that I've been here.
Yeah.
Everywhere has gotten worse.
For sure.
So not just politically, but economically, socially.
Yeah.
Poopily.
everything. I mean, our street where our office is, like we could go and do whatever. And now I'm like, I need to worry about getting literally robbed in broad daylight at gunpoint on the street out here because it's happening so often.
Don't worry. Taylor will protect you.
Yes. Thank you, Taylor.
I got you.
And I got Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Will's got Taylor. Taylor's got me.
And then you got me.
Oh, gotcha. We just all have each other's backs.
Yeah, so listen, you walk as like a triangle unit. It's like the Triforce from Zelda. And everyone watches their back.
Unless I'm strapped, you should definitely not trust me with having your back. There's very little I could do. Strapped as in carrying. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, that would be. There's nothing I can do with these noodle arms. You guys can't see them because I'm wearing this jacket. Far smaller than this. Yeah.
I would have never believed it. Laurel Hubbard, is that you?
One more vaccine related story. I believe this one's out of Italy. This one's just kind of just like, ugh, it's sad. It's anecdotal, but it's sad. This is an older Italian woman being stopped from getting on transportation because she does not have what Europe refers to as a green pass, which shows that you have been vaccinated for COVID-19.
But she doesn't have a phone.
Yes, a phone to show her green
She's
pass.
Too old to have a phone.
Yes. Here's the video.
Green pass, signora.
Il certificato. Quello del Covid.
Lei ha fatto il vaccino, signora.
Sì.
Me lo mostra, c'ha un certificato per il
Ma
vaccino.
Ma io non c'ho nulla, io sono solo fatto il vaccino e basta.
A me.
Ma ringrazio, vuol dire che andrò dal dottore e mi farò fare.
Tanto.
E dove lo devo fare?
Now, obviously, I can't translate this for you, so I won't show you the whole video. They go on to go back and forth about her having a phone and showing her green pass, which, again, is showing your COVID-19 proof of vaccination. I don't know what happened after this. Of course, this is a 40-second clip. Maybe they were nice and had compassion and let her get on her transportation. But who knows?
This reminds me, when I was in high school, we would go to the mall and things, and we would take in the gym, and we would take the light rail, which was kind of like the high-speed rail back in Denver. And, you know, you had to buy a ticket, but we were broke middle school and high school kids, so we didn't always buy a ticket. And they would come, the light rail cops, as we call them, would come, and they'd be asking people for tickets and stuff like that. And, you know, you could sometimes get it, you could get it on your phone too, and then, but I didn't have a phone either. And they would say, "Where's your ticket?" And I'd be like, "Oh, I don't have a phone. I really just didn't buy a ticket." But
wow, yeah. Will.
I'd gotten kicked off the light rail a couple times for not having
a ticket.
You
better hope the statute of limitations is up on that before they come and rob you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an admission if I ever heard it.
It is. No.
And you're white, so there's no zero bail for you, baby boy.
I know. All those light rail tickets, they're going to come back to bite me in the butt.
More so than the vax pass, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Now you have to have your ticket and your vax pass.
Right, and you don't have either of those.
I don't have either.
So you're just like, you're double done.
Yeah, you think I'm paying for a ticket? No.
Well, guess what? You know, maybe it's best that you don't even go anywhere because you'll get robbed.
I pay taxes. Why do I need to pay a ticket for the light rail? There's not even a driver in the light rail. It's just electronic. Why would I pay taxes? Why would I buy a ticket?
You're sounding a lot like those shoplifters these days.
Yeah,
why would I buy this Gucci bag?
I pay taxes. Yeah.
No, what do you mean Gucci isn't a government company?
I'm owed reparations
for this.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
That's different.
But as I said before, robbery is going up here in California, not just in San Francisco, as we had previously reported, because San Francisco was ahead of the curve when it came to decriminalizing shoplifting to the tune of if you stole anything less than $950, you're pretty much fine. It's no longer the big criminal offense that it used to be. Here's a story out of Los Angeles Times. Armed robbers break into the Palisades home during holiday party. An outdoor holiday party in the Pacific Palisades came to a crashing halt Friday night when two armed robbers broke into the residence and stripped guests of jewelry, phones, and watches, according to the homeowners. And this, again, is yet another story to tack on to the hundreds that have happened over the past few weeks. We talked about Jacqueline Avant, who was a homeowner out in Beverly Hills, a very wealthy homeowner, who was robbed and fatally shot in her house in Beverly Hills. We talked about a family that was coming into their house, was approached by a few black men wearing fake police uniforms who robbed them as well and enforced themselves into their house. We're talking about robberies that are happening in Sherman Oaks. We had a robbery happen in Hancock Park over in the Silver Lake Melrose Avenue area, where a woman with her baby was robbed by two men who walked up to her, stole her bag, stole her diaper bag, stole her bottle cooler for her baby. This is happening all in broad daylight, a lot of it at gunpoint, to typical residents.
Yeah, and these are in some of the nicer spots, too. This yes. isn't in, like, you know, this isn't down on Pico Boulevard or anything like that. These are, like, right. in Sherman Oaks. And
Sherman Oaks.
Palisades.
Beverly Hills.
At the Grove.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
These are, like, in affluent places. It's, like, so many of these, like, things happen in crimes, and politicians on both sides don't care. But they start to care once it happens in neighborhoods that they actually shop at. Right. So, potentially, hopefully, this kicks them in the butt a little bit, and they say, you know, we need to do something about this, but I don't know.
So they're like, ugh, you know, the policy was a little too much. It's starting to affect me, you guys.
Yeah. I better hire a couple more private security guards.
Exactly.
Right. We yeah. either got to hire some more security with those guns, or we got to rethink this whole thing. Yeah.
I got to tint my private jet window so I don't have to see any of this stuff.
Gosh, I tell you what, once I start having to look around my neighborhood for the robbers, we're getting a little too far here.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly ridiculous. Right. They only care when it affects them.
Ridiculous.
Oh, and then they don't even care. Then it's just I now need to do something about it because I'm expected to.
Right. Because I'm expected to. And it's also going to be the people who give you money for your campaigns and who lobby you and who live in these nicer areas here in California that go, ooh, hey, guess what? Happened in my neighborhood. Not okay with that. I'm going to pull my money. And that's what's going to happen. Hopefully, if they're smart enough to do that. And that's when the policies will change. It's not until it's not until the ivory tower starts to crumble a little bit that these policies start to change.
Yeah.
So they face the consequences of their own policies.
Yep.
But, yeah, too bad it takes so long for that to happen.
Well, since there's no term limits, eventually they'll feel it.
Eventually, right, guys?
One would hope.
Eventually, right, guys? Yeah, for sure.
Everything's going to get better eventually, right? Hashtag it's better, right, guys?
There's poop on the street, and I can't walk from my car to my house without fear of being mugged. But, you know, we're close to rock bottom by now, right?
I don't know if I said this on the show yet, but I've seen 3 naked homeless men in the past 3 weeks.
By choice?
Not by choice. Not by Never choice. By choice.
Taylor saw 3 by choice.
Never by choice.
I did see that video I sent you on Instagram of this. There's a homeless guy exposing himself on the street corner in Los Angeles, and someone ran up to him with bear mace. Yeah. And just sprayed him.
Right in the nether region.
First in the face and then right in the nuts.
Dude, put your penis away. You don't have a right to just come out there naked.
Well, yeah, we talked about, like, what do the cops do to the person who did the pepper spray? It's like, I'm basically doing your job. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And so many of those guys, if they have, like, clothes on and they have drug needles, they will specifically, like, put the needles up in their pockets so that when cops and people come search their pockets, they, like, jab themselves with the needles. They, like, do that on purpose.
The next time this happens to me, I'm going to walk up to him and I'm going to be like, do you want me to walk into that Urban Outfitters and shoplift you an outfit right now? Because I will do it and I will not get in trouble for it. This is the solution. Yeah,
the homeless people have no excuse to be naked right now because you can literally go in any store and loot it and grab whatever
you have
you
no
need.
Excuses.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, excuse me, sir. You have no excuse. Go in there and rob that store and put on some clothes so I don't have to deal with
it. Rob that store right now.
You hear me, young lady?
Put your boobs away.
And go rob that Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah. Nordstrom Rack, was that a joke about boobs?
No.
Like rack?
No, the joke was that Nordstrom Rack was already robbed, so maybe there might not be any clothes in there.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, guys, go encourage a homeless person to rob a store. That's our
that's our advice of the day. Yeah.
This show's really giving it all to you.
No, for the disclaimer purposes, don't actually do that. Wink, wink. I can't wink. So no. Sort of ineffective. Okay, guys. Today is the anniversary of
a great speech by Franklin Roosevelt.
No, it's not that. We are meant to plug our latest 5-minute video about Pearl Harbor, talking about exactly what happened at Pearl Harbor. Not only do we have a 5-minute video on what you know about Pearl Harbor, we also have a man on the street that will did about Pearl Harbor, but we're going to get to that. First, we're going to show you a sneak peek of our newest 5-minute video with PragerU on Pearl Harbor. Here we go.
What's up, guys? This is Will Witt with PragerU. Today, we're at the University of Minnesota.
And that's Will's
JK,
video.
The universe really wanted you to see Will first. They thought, let's get the bad stuff out of the way. So we
exactly. No, they were like, we feel bad for Will. You know, let's try this out.
Anyways, guys, here's Will's man on the street about Pearl Harbor.
Look at how
it's
young
the coldest I've ever been, and we're asking people today about Pearl Harbor, its significance, and what they know about it. Let's get started. When did Pearl Harbor take place?
Ooh. 1960s sometime?
I feel like it's somewhere in the
80s. 1914 or something.
1914?
Yeah, that's something with World War One.
World War Two. If you switch the 4 and the 1, you're right, it's 1941. Do you know the day?
No.
Well, I say November 11th or May 7th. Those are my 2 days that I'm thinking of.
It's December 7th.
December 7th, okay.
1941. Where is Pearl Harbor located?
Is it? Okay. It's either off the coast of Florida or Hawaii-ish.
Which one?
Ooh.
50-50.
I'm going to go with Florida.
It's Hawaii.
Dang it. Okay. Yeah.
Is it as cold up there as it is down here?
In Hawaii?
What a lame joke, Will.
That was funny.
What a low blow.
What
easy fruit.
I was more making fun of myself.
Okay.
Than him. I mean, look.
He's like, yeah, never heard of that one before. I see why PragerU hired you.
He's like, oh, sorry, I can't hear you, little person. I'm up here. I wish I could hear your stupid joke.
Yeah, let's finish this up. See what else people know about Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
I'm done.
Okay. It's so cold. The attack on Pearl Harbor.
These old videos.
You look like you're like 15.
1941.
There you go. Where is Pearl Harbor located?
Hawaii.
Okay. And who attacked us at Pearl Harbor?
The Japanese.
Why is it important to know about Pearl Harbor and what happened?
It started the American involvement in World War II.
It was the first major attack on U.S. soil. And the only way that the Allies could come back and win was with our help. It helped the world out a great deal.
Do you think that you should know more about Pearl Harbor?
I do think I should.
Yeah. Why do you think that?
Because it's an important piece of our history.
I like this girl.
Like, it's important for people to be informed otherwise.
She's sweet.
You know, like, similar situations could arise, and, you know, like, history's taught a lot of lessons. So, yes, it's important.
Yeah. Did you learn something today?
I did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She was
You're
so nice.
You're welcome. Yeah, they were all very nice.
Yeah, that's great.
Man, I was young. That was
what were you
years
like
ago?
10 in this video?
Yeah, basically. So 3 years ago. That's why I'm growing a beard, so I don't look so young.
Which means Amala was like 4.
Yeah, was Amala even born?
I wasn't even speaking English yet.
She was a twinkle in her father's eyes.
Most of those kids were like, why are you asking me all these questions? I'm trying to get to my women's studies class so I can go learn important things. About
yeah,
them.
Right. Exactly.
Trying to go loot the Nordstrom Rack. Yeah. Can you please leave me alone?
That was in Minneapolis, Twin Cities. I forget, University of Minneapolis, I think, was the school.
Something U of M, like University of Minnesota.
Twin Cities.
Twin Cities.
It was Twin Cities.
Well, the Twin Cities are the Twin Cities in Minnesota. It's like the
right.
capital. So the University of Minnesota is there too.
Okay, got it. Right. Okay, I think that was it.
I'm in
this
Minnesota.
This is riveting.
Native.
Yeah.
This is riveting.
Sorry.
Whatever, Amala. You want to talk about rural Florida and how exciting everything is
what
there?
What I want to talk about is the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. We made a 5-minute video about Pearl Harbor. If you want to learn more about it, learn the logistics, learn the ins and out, learn the true history of Pearl Harbor. And here's a sneak peek of that. You can watch the rest of it by going to PragerU.com/watch.
On December 7th, 1941,
The Japanese Imperial Navy bombed the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor. It was one of the most successful and failed surprise attacks in military history.
Bless you.
The attack shocked America and the world. President Franklin Roosevelt described it as a date which will live in infamy. An armada of six fleet carriers, equipped with some 350 combat aircraft, crossed 4,000 miles of rough winter seas to reach its destination. Neither American radar operators on the island nor intelligence officers who had broken many of the Japanese naval codes had an inkling of the approach. Flying out of the bright early...
Okay, guys, you can go and watch that at PragerU.com/watch. Go to our five-minute videos, and it is the newest one for this week, Pearl Harbor, A Day That Lives in Infamy. Learn more about American history. Get up to date on why today is so important, the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor attack.
It is really important.
It sounded like you were going to go somewhere with that. And then it just kind of like.
It really did. It sounded like there was some sort of segue.
It was the catalyst for United States entering World War II, and that's what turned the tide.
So. Also, it was strong men at that point when that happened, right? These were strong men who got attacked and decided to fight back, mm-hmm. not be weaklings, not let a foreign entity walk all over us. I mean, it was strong men saying, we're not going to take this. And they obviously didn't. We won that war.
Yeah, I learned a lot by watching that 5-minute video. There's a lot of things I didn't know about our different ships that made it out and that the Japanese were actually gunning for in the attack and didn't end up getting to. And the fact that we really had no inkling of this happening is just really interesting. I can't imagine how shocking that must have been for the servicemen who were out there in Hawaii. I can't imagine what that's like at all. That's got to be just like, it's indescribable.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it's indescribable. Now, again, you guys can go and watch that by going to PragerU.com, clicking browse, going to 5-minute videos, and it's our latest upload. Guys, I want to remind you yet again, we are streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and on Rumble. So if you like to rumble it up, you can watch my little normal life on Rumble. I was trying to think of a smarter, more clever way
to
do that.
Fantastic. Very good job.
But it didn't work. Guys, it is TikTok Tuesday, so we figured we'd find some crazy leftists making TikToks for you guys and react to them for you. Here's number one in our TikTok Tuesday extravaganza today. This one is Christmas related. Let's see. It says, all I want for Christmas is... Let's find out what she wants.
The COVID vaccine for my 2-year-old.
Do we need to hear it again? Was that a little choppy? Did you hear what
like
she said?
I like the song.
Okay, well then.
The COVID vaccine for my 2-year-old.
Ugh.
Psychotic.
Imagine being 2 years old and, you know, it might be your first, second Christmas that you've ever had with your family. And your mom comes down the stairs, right? Shows you the Christmas lights and just gives you the jab.
Would not be fun to sit on Santa's lap.
No.
No. I was reading a study that actually came out of NBC News, so you know it can't be biased because this is left-wing propaganda. 97% of the young people, as in kids, who have gotten mumps from 2007 to 2019 were vaccinated for mumps.
I'm no longer surprised by these stats anymore after what's happened over the past 2 years.
I am not either.
Yeah.
I am very not surprised.
Nothing surprises me anymore.
Just something to think about. With the efficacy of all these kinds of things.
Something to pontificate on, mm-hmm. to ponder, to use the old noodle for.
I don't know about that.
So what's our next
noodle.
TikTok, Kamala?
Your next TikTok is yet another leftist, and it is again vaccine related. The title on this one, Dear Unvaccinated People. What does he want to tell?
What do you want to tell me,
we
sir?
We unvaccinated. Huh?
Please help me, enlighten
Please
me.
Please enlighten me. Here we go.
Hi, this is a little message to the unvaccinated. Ugh. You are killing everyone. It's your fault. You're being selfish, so get the vaccine because I'm vaccinated. I am vaccinated, okay? And so I'm protected because the vaccine is safe and effective. So if you're around me and you're unvaccinated, then you're putting me at well, you're not. You're, no, okay. So you're selfish because if I'm protected and you're around me, then I'm fine, but you're me. If you're not vaccinated, then you're not. It's your, you're racist, is what I'm saying. Hi.
Oh, so accurate. Oh my gosh, it's so accurate. At least there was a little satire in this one. I haven't seen this TikTok, so I'm glad. Taylor, did you put this on?
I must have. I've seen this before. So
Good job, Taylor. Good job, Taylor. It's good to have a little comedic relief.
It is. Well, we don't get it really on this show.
When in doubt, so call them racist.
Yeah, exactly. No, that always works. You know, you don't get your jab. Oh, well, you don't get your bread because you're a racist.
Sums it up.
That's how it goes. That's what's happening.
No, this is good. It's so true. You can always, it's just like the woke leftists who like come at you for not being vaccinated can just sit there and talk themselves in circles. And if you just sit there silently and just let them dig their own hole, they'll do it.
Yeah. I was watching the beginning of this TikTok and I was like, wait, this has to be satire.
Right. This can't
be
real.
This guy sounds way too
beta. Way too what?
Way too beta.
Okay.
He sounds gay. I mean, that's what he was like going for. But it was very strange.
Yeah, I know.
He's definitely playing it up.
Yeah, he's playing it up for sure.
Good on him. He deserves it. Good job. Yeah. Good job, kid. One more here. Also, I believe COVID related. This is my pick for TikTok Tuesday. So we got, I think those were both Taylor's, but this is mine. We didn't get one from Will because Will
You're welcome.
Decided
no,
not
I put
to.
Those both on.
Okay. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
From the links that I put in there previously?
No, I put them on today.
Okay.
I put them on this morning.
Okay.
It's always a shocker when Will brings something. Besides about Pfizer or, vaxes or something.
Oh, all
like
those
that.
Stories on the doc today?
Yeah. You're doing a great job. Bro.
You guys are getting a little too much into our process here. Last TikTok for TikTok Tuesday. This is my choice. Meanwhile, in 2022. It's a little too real for me. It's kind of like joking about how Epstein didn't kill himself. It's just like, ugh, this is too real.
What did that have to do with Epstein?
No, I'm just saying it's kind of about like, you know, how people made the meme and everything about how Epstein didn't kill himself.
Got
but it's also, it's a very serious issue.
Yeah, I was like, Epstein had COVID?
No.
They probably counted his death as a COVID.
It probably was.
On an unrelated note. Yeah, no. Imagine being in 2022 and you cough and police are dispatched.
Your Alexa is like, police have been dispatched to your home.
I know. In Sweden, they are instituting chips into people. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a real thing that people know about. And it's like, this is wild.
Yeah.
This is wild. It's like, this is becoming a reality.
Yeah, Sweden has chips that people have, I guess, in their hands. But I think there are chips that have already been there, but they've now manufactured them or altered the software to where you can now put in your COVID-19 status. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing what we are choosing to do. I mean, in Australia, they had that whole government can reach out to you and in 5 minutes you must respond back with your location or...
And a selfie.
You know, yeah, and a selfie. Or they will dispatch health officials to you. So this is not too far off from
Someone
reality.
Someone made a really funny skit about that and it went viral on YouTube.
That is very true. Somebody made a very funny skit about that and that somebody was Taylor.
Well, it was you.
I was in it, but yeah. Taylor came up with the idea. It's on PragerU Clips, which if you guys want to see shorter versions of Will and Amla Live, if you guys want to see the reels that we create and the TikToks that we create for PragerU, you can follow us on PragerU Clips on YouTube to get our shorter content rather than, you know, our hour-long episodes, even though the hour-long episodes are probably better for you.
Yeah. And you can always go, if you want to see more from me, things that we can't really say on the show, go to thewillwit.substack.com, thewillwit.substack.com. That's my blog. Come out daily or bi-daily post to things that are really happening. So check that out as well.
Yep. And that's the end of TikTok Tuesday.
Yep. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about this. Okay.
Oh, no. Well,
this is a story that we didn't get to today, I believe, at any point. There was a UPenn swimmer who's transgender who is now beating out all of these female athletes at UPenn in swimming and is now estimated to go to competition and get silver or bronze in the swimming competition. This is a 22-year-old male-to-female transgender athlete, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Who competed in like high school or something earlier as a male.
Right. I think we sort of fell off, like we stopped talking about the whole transgenders in sports things when it, you know, we moved on to the next news cycle thing. But it is still a continuing thing that is continuing to happen. It's happening at UPenn now. It's just interesting to me that people are just, they don't care about this anymore.
No, they don't. If people can continually take advantage of a certain system, then they will continue to do it. You know, even if the news cycle moves on, people are still going to do it. Even if the news cycle moves on from people going in and robbing stores for $950 or less and people aren't talking to them anymore, people are still going to do it. So, yeah, I mean, these things are going to continue to happen because that's what the culture allows.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I watched a Jubilee video. They do what is it called? They do a series called Middle Ground, where they bring people together who are on two sides of an idea, and they will have them sort of duke it out and debate their different ideas on this. They did one about transgender athletes in sports, and that was a really interesting one. So I would shout out Jubilee. Go and watch that video. They also did one recently on abortion that is an interesting one to watch. Yeah.
I have to go watch it.
You'll be angry.
Probably.
You will be angered. So you will be angered by the end of it. It's really hard when you watch shows and you're like, you should have got somebody who better represented the viewpoint that you put them there for.
Of course.
I feel that all the time.
All the time.
Oh, it's at the same time.
Yeah.
You owe me a Coke. Jinx. It's like Pam and... Who... Is that Pam and Jim in The Office?
What's The Office?
Taylor.
She's...
Did you say, what's The Office?
He's just playing dumb. He knows what The Office is. But no, Jim couldn't talk all day because she said Jinx or whatever.
Oh, I should have made that the bet.
The one with the glasses. Jim.
You're fired.
The Asian one.
The Asian one.
You're totally fired. Effective immediately. This is now Amala Live. Amala and Taylor Live.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want.
Follow me on Substack for Will pre-recorded.
Will, tell the people what you were up to on Monday because nobody knew where you were, what you were doing. So.
I took the day off.
Oh, really? You just took the day off?
Yeah.
It's a personal day.
Yeah.
Okay, people. I hope you're listening. Will just decided to take a personal day.
Can I not take the day off?
I guess. You didn't stipulate to us that it was a personal day. So
was
we
it
were
for
just
your
like,
mental health?
I don't have to stipulate to you guys.
What? We were like, where's Will? And everybody in the comments was like, where's Will? We were just like, well, we don't know where Will is either.
Oh, well, you could ask.
I said, well, Will's alive. But we don't know where he is or what he's doing.
Well, I'm glad you told them I was alive.
Yes.
People were just worried about you. We wanted to let them know.
No, that's very sweet of you guys.
People thought that you are like fighting us because you were like tweeting and everything. And they're like, why is Will active on Twitter and Instagram, but he's not doing the show today? So.
No, I just took the day off.
Okay. Well, you guys can decide about how you feel about that. Should Will be able to take personal days? We should do a poll down below in the comments.
No, that's your last one, Will.
You owe us an hour of content every weekday. I said that's what they signed up for. Gosh darn it.
I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to be like, I'm taking it personally.
You are totally allowed to do that.
Well, now that I know that, I'll do it more often.
Oh, by the way,
this is the first time I've ever done it.
Speaking of 3 hours of content, what are you guys doing tomorrow morning?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. We are hosting Dennis Prager's show tomorrow.
We are. Guys, if you listen to the radio, it's KTLA, right?
No.
That's a TV channel.
Yeah, that's a TV channel.
Oh, well, that's awkward.
Yeah, it is. It's Salem Radio Network.
Salem Radio.
AM radio, but it might be different for all
of you. If you listen to Dennis Prager show anywhere, ever hear that, then tune in tomorrow because we'll know.
Yeah, from 9 to noon Pacific, that's noon to 3 Eastern. It's going to be on also PragerU, or not PragerU, but Dennis Prager YouTube channel.
Right.
Or on his website. Or if you listen to AM radio, you can catch it there. Amal and I will be hosting 3 hours of his show, as we usually do, guest hosting sometimes. So make sure that you're tuned into that as well. If you want even more Will and Amal content.
The true Will and Amala uncensored.
Yeah. As long as Amala doesn't take another personal day, she'll be there. And we'll do
I'm going to get there tomorrow and be like, oh, Will just decided to take a personal day. So it's just me hosting, by the way. You normally get the duo. Now you're getting the single person.
Yeah, that's okay. You know,
maybe our good friend Julian will give us a call.
Who is Julian?
So every time Will and I have ever hosted the Dennis Prager show, we get a call from a guy named Julian, and Julian always does not like us. And Julian first yelled at us for complaining about wearing masks in Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And then Julian called us the second time and said something that you said about Reagan economics or something like that he hated that you said. So Julian does not fail to call us. He always listens to the Dennis Prager show.
The same guy.
Yep, it was the same guy.
Julian. So, I know you're out there.
Give us a call, baby.
Give us a call.
We miss you.
We're working on getting live calls on Will and Amala Live.
Yeah, hopefully we'll set up the new studio so that you guys can call in.
Yeah. But then we'll need a producer who can field those calls, because I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, and you know how we get producers? By hiring. PragerU is hiring.
We're just really stretching this out, guys.
We are stretching this out because I'm trying to make it to at least 325 or something. But guys, go to PragerU.com/jobs. We have several job listings in all of our different departments: user experience, marketing, digital design, graphics, editing. Go look there.
Water boy,
as Will calls all the interns.
AKA intern. That's what Will calls
AKA interns, yes. And you guys can go to PragerU.com/jobs, look at the job listing, see if anything applies to you. And if you'd like to work at PragerU, go ahead and apply. Mm-hmm. We're hiring.
You definitely should. We are a fantastic company.
Yeah.
And we are looking for talent. If you are untalented, you need not apply. But if you are talented, please apply.
Unless you're of certain minorities that have been extra oppressed, then we have quotas to fill to hire as many as possible.
You know, started out with me and Taylor, and we got Amala afterwards. Filled a certain role.
I am the affirmative.
Tax benefits.
The affirmative action hire of PragerU.
Yeah. We're a nonprofit, so we don't do taxes. They understand. Regardless. Yeah.
Right. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. This has been Will and Amala Live. We hope you enjoyed the stories that we went over today. We talked about Jussie Smollett, the Omicron variant, possible vaccine mandates for not only children, but for more private sector jobs to the tune of 200,000 in New York City. We talked about the EU possibly repealing the Nuremberg Code in order to push vaccine mandates. And today is the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. So if you'd like to check out the Pearl Harbor videos that we have on PragerU, go to PragerU.com/watch, and you can watch our latest 5-minute video called What Do You Know About Pearl Harbor. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live, 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern, and we will see you tomorrow at 2:30.
Peace, guys.